Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Hello there, my friend. A very special show for you today as we bring you the Village Square Tallahassee Town Hall meeting in its entirety. Miriam Dady is here co-hosting with me. We'll have comments for you at the end of today's broadcast, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
If Santa missed something on your list, get it now at Truck and Car Concepts New Year's Sale. Save hundreds of dollars on items throughout the store. Save $60 on a keyless entry system, now only $299.95. Most vehicles, or a complete bed protection package with bed liner, bed caps, and tailgate cap, only $299.95.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty.
Don't take chances. Our professional installers do it right the first time.
Truck and Car Concepts New Year's Sale on Mahan Drive across from Kraft Nissan. Call 656-8800. 656-8800.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, this very special edition of our show as we present to you the Village Square 2016 presentation of the Tallahassee Town Hall meeting. My lovely co-host, Miriam Dady, is here for the entire 2 hours. How are you, my friend?
I am doing very well. And, you know, special is as special does. And we nailed it here because to be able to bring this entire meeting to the public, not just the 120 people that were there.
Right.
It is special, and people need to know what's being said.
And as it turns out, so we are the only news organization that is doing this. It was a remarkable thing in that the newspaper, WFSU, WCTV, did not decide to do this. They decided to report on portions of it. So this is really your opportunity to hear, I would say, 90% of what went on this particular evening here in the month of January. This town hall meeting. We're going to give you all that we can in the next 2 hours, and then Miriam and I will rejoin the broadcast towards the end so that we can give you some of our thoughts. Is that good with you?
I'm always have an opinion, so yes.
Looking forward to it. We begin the evening with the moderator, Skip Foster, publisher of the Tallahassee Democrat, who provided the questions of the evening and did such a great job, beginning with the Capital Redevelopment Agency and its role in helping to distribute monies throughout the community. Let's listen.
Okay, so let's get started. And I want to start right here on the end with Nick Maddox. That's Maddox N. Obviously, Tallahassee's business and public sector worlds are buzzing about the sudden dissolution of the EDC. What happened? What does it mean?
There you go. To answer the question what happened, I think you would have to be in the rooms and actually be privy to the conversations that actually happened to cause it. I wasn't there, but I can tell you that in our future, I think it's pretty bright. I think out of this will come solutions that not only from the private sector, but from the public sector, that can work together to create a better economic environment for us in Leon County and the City of Tallahassee. I don't think there was much wrong with the system that we had. I think that what we had in place wasn't perfect, but it was improving. But now that we have this opportunity to start from anew, I think we have the opportunity to really sit down and think long and hard about what we want our future to look like and how we want our interactions to go down between the private sector and the public sector.
So there's kind of two camps. There's the camp that says, boy, that really wasn't handled very well, and it should have been done very differently. And then there's the camp that says, well, that was a necessary thing, and at least it got compressed into a couple weeks, and we ended up getting where we should be, okay? Camp number one, that was unnecessarily messy. Camp two, okay? Let me see the camp one people. Closest to your view is closest to camp number one. Yeah, so first camp is, this was not right. This should have been handled better. And even if we ended up in a good place, it was messy. The communication was poor. And this is not the way we want to do things. Camp two is we ended up in a pretty good place where we needed to be. And so if even if it was a little rough, it was probably okay to be there.
Yes.
First camp. Second camp. Let me see the first camps. Closest one, okay? I'm not going to hold you to it. You can elaborate. Okay, camp two. Marianne, you said camp two. Tell me why.
Okay, I think that organizations have a shelf life, probably even this county commission. And I think the blueprint money just gave everybody kind of a new urgency, and people started doing a this time we really mean it sort of evaluation. I personally was kind of having a lot of second thoughts about the EDC taking over the blueprint advisory capacity entirely and thought it needed something new. It was kind of sudden, but divorces are.
So I think our lead is Commissioner Lindley open to the disbanding of the county commission. I think that's what I just heard there, right?
It happens.
Sean, you got your lead, Sean. Okay, anybody else have unique thought on that? Yes, Curtis.
Thank you, Skip. I agree with Commissioner Lindley. The EDC had been around for 20 years, had served a tremendous function in the community. But for you all that don't know, in November of 2014, we extended our penny sales tax another 20 years. And 12% of the proceeds from that sales tax or the revenue over 20 years would be designated for economic development. And I think that is what started a lot of this conversation, is who would be responsible for those dollars. It was designated during the process that we went through the sales tax committee for the EDC. But I think we're at a good place now. Because one of the things that I thought was important is if we're gonna have anyone handling the taxpayers' money, it had to be a process that was transparent, was open to the public, annual reports made, and open meetings. And so that's what I will look for going forward.
Commissioner Miller, you were at the meeting where the EDC was dissolved. The Florida Chamber President, Mark Wilson, delivered a pretty compelling soliloquy about the culture of the Tallahassee business community. And his assertion was that the culture here has not been as friendly to economic development as it should be, and that there really is no strategy or structure that's going to get us where we need to be until this cultural issue is addressed. Do you agree with him? And if not, or if so, could you elaborate on that?
I would say that I don't agree with him in the context that he presented it. His business is economic development, and that's what he does all day. We do a broader range of topics. And my main promise to you is really all about quality of life. I know a lot of you wake up in the morning wanting to know how many jobs that have been created, and then some others of you don't. And so I think that his comments were good. I would like for him to give us a little bit more detail as to exactly what he means as in changing that culture.
Okay. Kristen?
Thank you, Skip. I have a slightly different perspective about the reasons why this conversation came about. I think conditions have been changing throughout the recession, and particularly the last 5 to 6 years. To talk about something the EDC really did do was help to change the dialogue when in 2010 and 11, when Kim Williams was chair, he's talking about wet labs. They started the EEP program, Entrepreneurial Excellence Program, and some other things that within a small budget really did have a good impact. They're still going on today. Innovation Park, we just did a feasibility study for that wet lab. So they did have an impact. But I do agree with Mark Wilson's comments that from what I have learned, I think what a lot of us have learned listening to folks at FSU, FAMU, outside the community, inside the community, is that the way we do economic development has changed nationally, statewide, locally. And that conversation is very hard, and it was challenging to the status quo. So I think that it's really been a long, slow burn. The $90 million sales tax helped tip us over in the last year, because now we're looking at exactly how we're going to structure this. But this has been a conversation for a long time and a foundation laid all across our community for a different kind of economic development, but different voices in economic development. That is the opportunity we have now that we've never had before, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
John, what about this business friendliness?
Let me piggyback on what Kristen said and actually give Kristen some applause as well. I think one thing out of the mess, if you will, that came out is that there is one focus. I would say that the relationship between the city, the county, and the university community is stronger than it's been in over a decade. I think you're seeing some amazing things going on at Innovation Park, and I give Kristen full credit on our side as our representative who's chaired our Research and Development Authority. You have both vice presidents of research for FAMU and Florida State that are highly engaged on a day-to-day basis with the city and with the county. We had President Murdahl, who served as the chair of the EDC for the past 2 years. So regardless of playing Monday morning quarterback of what happened or didn't happen, I think there is one thing that we can all definitely agree on moving forward, and that is that the relationship with the university community, our tech transfer programs, how does that relate into bringing businesses in? We have space available at Innovation Park, and we're moving ahead very strong.
Okay, so who is satisfied with the business friendliness of their respective governments?
Vince Long is. Actually.
Who thinks this is a major issue? Who thinks it's not an issue? I mean, I'm trying to get some space here to understand, yeah, I think this is a big deal and we got to get better, or this is a total non-issue red herring. Brian.
I'll jump in. I mean, it is a big deal and we got to get better. I mean, like it or not, we're a company town, we're a public sector town, and have been for a long time. And there's a mindset associated with that. And it's tough. We got to play to our strengths. We have got a ton of cool things going on at FSU and FAMU and TCC, and we're starting to see that as we start to engage better and we have a better relationship. But the reality is we're a public sector town. Now, there are plenty of people, if you want to be in the public sector, you want to study at that level, this is the World Series for that type of thing. We're an $80 billion shop in our backyard. We don't take advantage of that as well as we should or could. So, but as has been pointed out, this next round of blueprint, $90 million, ramps our game up to a huge level and was really the catalyst for this whole EDC chamber crash. So,
okay. Commissioner Ziffer.
The times that we've had different people come to our community from areas that are highly successful, or when we have gone to those communities, there is one singular item that is consistent, and that is they have an individual at the top that lives and breathes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, building business, building structure, so that either businesses can grow here in their location or come. I don't know enough about Ben or what we're doing, but whoever we put in that spot, we need to make sure we get that person so that they can come to our commission or the county commission or the school board or whomever and say, you need to do this for us to be effective. And we've not done that yet. And I think from a success standpoint, until we have that in place, we're going to continue to think that we know everything, and we don't. But we need to get somebody that does.
Okay. Thank you. All right, let's shift gears and talk about economic development. Just making sure you're paying attention. It took you a little time. I'm a little disappointed. When it comes to blueprint economic development money, Mr. Mayor, because amazingly you're the last one, you and Commissioner Maddox are the last two that I have not spoken to yet. How will you distinguish between a project that is primarily an infrastructure project that will have trickle-down economic development benefit versus more of a pure-play economic development project? Where should our priorities be with that blueprint money? How should it be used?
Well, I think it's probably going to be more of an art than it is a hard science. Take, for instance, the fact that Florida State University wants to build a new convention center hotel. We might not be able to immediately extrapolate the economic development potential by virtue of having a convention center hotel, but I don't think any of us would argue that that wouldn't be in the benefit and toward the advancement of economic development opportunity for our community. So I would come down on the side of that's probably a place we want to put some resources to create. I mean, over 1,000 associations consider Tallahassee their headquarters, state associations. And my argument would be that probably not one of them hosts their state convention in the state's capital. We're the capital city of the third largest state in all of America. And we ought to have a showpiece here by which people can come to their capital city. They can be introduced to the assets of why it makes sense to locate here. Knowledge is our export. I mean, roughly one of every two persons in the city of Tallahassee has at least a bachelor's degree. They tell us that we're the smartest city in the state of Florida. You can disagree with that if you want. I'm going to agree. I'm going to agree. I'll take that as a credit. But having that kind of potential in addition to the I think the really vibrant ecosystem that we're building for entrepreneurship and innovation are, in my opinion, exportable. So with regard to the money, whether you do infrastructure building versus a hard cash out incentive for a business, I think it's going to be more of an art for us. And we'll in some cases have to extrapolate what the economic development benefit is of doing that. But I would say a convention center hotel probably is good for economic development for this region.
All right, Marianne.
Real quickly, you know, over 20 years, all this money, it's really just about $5 million a year. A portion of that's already committed to the airport, to the convention center hotel. So really, I mean, I think we're going to be the focal point of the conversation, but we have to bear in mind we're not the end-all, be-all by any means. So our, I think our attitude that we express through the, these, the Blueprint Project is going to be more important than the actual bucks that come out the door.
What about the what role, now that there's no EDC, where does the private sector plug into all of this? Crispin, Marianne?
Well, I mean, I certainly think the private sector is vital, and I think the local governments are kind of a convener helping organize and bring together these
directions. So I think everybody would agree the private sector needs to plug in. I guess my question is, how is that going to, what is that going to look like? How's it going to work?
Skip, this is the question that has been on my mind in recent weeks. Everything that we've seen in the paper, I think that, you know, and I've heard from dozens of people who are just reading the paper to heavily involved who all have the same questions. So there's kind of been a lack of what's next. That's the question, right? So I think, and this is not buttering you up, I promise, but you asked the question in the paper last week about economic development being more than the $90 million. And I think, Marianne, you were just getting to this. We have always contemplated since September of 12, that's when our first agenda item came out, thinking about a contract between the EDC and Blueprint, because we had this money coming in and the EDC was our economic development organization. We have to have one of those. We never have asked the question as a community, what if we created a brand new EDO?
I take care of the whole person interweaved throughout our office visits. Yeah. If we're talking about a general medical office visit,
right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Your family, your health, your doctor. Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
And that's the question we face right now. So what's on my mind recently is 5 million is absolutely more than we've had before, but it is not the end-all be-all of what an EDO has to do, Economic Development Organization. Is doing that under blueprint, you know, under all those layers, the right model? Or is a different interlocal agreement that gives us a different body where more private sector involvement, something like that? I don't know what that looks like, but I think this is the question we have to ask in the next month, is what happens next so we get private sector investment, transparency, accountability, all that. But really, as Marianne said, we've got someone who's working on this, or everyone has, all the time.
So does anybody on the panel know how they want the private sector to plug in to the new... okay, go ahead, John. And then I got a fresh question for poor Scott Maddox over here who can't seem to.
Let me give you a very non-definitive answer.
Okay.
I think it's very important to remember there's two phases that we're talking about. We as citizens passed through the referendum a structure in regards to the economic development funding come 2020. It has two layers of citizen review before an economic development project would come before the intergovernmental agency, which is governed by the mayor, four city commissioners, and all seven county commissioners. So the layers of citizen review in the process that was approved by the ballot measure has plenty of opportunities, both formally and informally, for the business community to be a role. Now, the question is, how do we get from here to 2020? And so we know by what's been reported, and just because of the fact that we serve as well, we know that the city manager and we know that the county administrator have been working furiously to come up with that plan that will be presented to us February 19th, right?
29th.
February 29th at the intergovernmental agency. So the short answer is, do we have that answer for you right now? No, sir, because it's currently being developed by the city manager and the county administrator. Is there a plan in place for 2020? Yes, sir. It was approved by all of us by referendum ballot. Is there a role to play? It's going to be defined and brought to us on the 29th. Is there a role from 2020 moving forward? Yes, there is.
Yeah, you just used up all your questions right there. No, good.
Sounds good. Answer. Thank you all very much. Yeah.
Okay, I want to get to Commissioner Maddox, Commissioner Scott Maddox, and finally shift gears a little bit from economic development, and talk about the CRA. How has the scope evolved, if any, during its existence? Are you comfortable with that evolution, and what are the limits on what types of projects should be eligible for funding?
My colleagues are going to throw things at me.
You got candy.
Sorry. I have been a critic of the CRA's, what I perceive to be mission creep. The CRA's, both the downtown and the Frenchtown Southside CRA's, were formed. I'm getting to that. Community reinvestment. It's to take blighted areas and capture the tax dollars that are paid in there, use tax increment financing. So it takes the a portion of the property taxes and use those dollars back in the very same districts to change the look of the districts. We used this successfully with Gain Street, which was a brownfield site contamination. We've used it with Cascades Park, which was an EPA Superfund site. As well. So we've seen some change in use of the CRAs, and we've used it somewhat with Frenchtown as well. However, our focus early on was on infrastructure, changing major things, streets, drainage, lighting, and building facades, the outside of buildings, so that if one building facade changes, perhaps another one will. If you passed Early's Kitchen on the way here, that was done with a building facade grant. What we have morphed into today is festivals, supporting festivals, also interior renovations to businesses. So we recently approved a $205,000 grant for Piggly Wiggly for interior renovation. My problem with that is you're picking winners and losers within the business community. So you didn't do it for Winn-Dixie. Are you going to do it for Publix if they're in the district? But you did it for Piggly Wiggly. So you either have to do it for everybody or don't do it for everybody. But I don't think that government ought to use tax dollars to pick winners and losers for things that are purely helping a business case, not helping a district.
All right. So I think from here down was a different view on that. Does anybody want to speak up and provide a counter argument?
Y'all done with hearing from?
Okay, Mr. Mayor, I saw your hand up.
I'll jump in. I'm not on the seat right there.
You know, this is also one of those things that I think falls into the art and not a clear science, in part because we've got different parts of the CRA district. There's the Frenchtown area, I would describe, that includes downtown. There's the Gaines Street. And let's just deal with those two for a moment. On the Gaines Street side, where you pretty much had brownfields, where what we did was come in, purchase up a bunch of property, did $20 million or so in street improvements, and made way for the private sector to come in, purchase the land, flip it, build something new, so on and so forth. That was probably the cleanest version that I've seen. But then you deal with another area where maybe the area is already built out. It's got, you know, historic properties on it. It's got a neighborhood that exists there. You've got maybe, as in the Frenchtown area, a strip mall area that it's a little bit run down and may need a different type of investment. But before private sector may come in and invest there, they want to see what we're going to do about the crime rate in an area. And what does the jobless rate look like in a particular area? And so, you know, this is the big question around equity. And equity is that everybody doesn't need the same thing to get on the same level. In some places, some people need a dollar. In another place, they need $1.50 plus the program that's going to make this an area by which people want to come in and actually spend their private money to reinvest in that area. And in the place of the Piggly Wiggly, they were fine to go into this facility, except they needed some additional improvements in order to choose to locate there. And let's remember that the previous grocer that went out of there left that place blank. You basically had a community with a food desert. And especially when Winn-Dixie decided that they were going to go up on their prices. Why? Because they were the only available option in the area. Well, Publix wasn't breaking down our door to get there. Winn-Dixie wasn't going to create a satellite site. So we needed to do what was necessary to make sure that the communities, the neighborhoods that existed there had access to healthy food options that they can provide for themselves and for their families. And so as a CRA, it's my opinion that we have to take a broader view around how it is that we give and provide each community what they need to then make a way for themselves. And I think that's the approach we've gone with.
By the way, somebody bet me $20 that I couldn't get Scott Maddox and the mayor to say Piggly Wiggly tonight. So I don't really care about the CRA. I just wanted to win that bet. No, I'm kidding. It's important. It's important. It's important. Commissioner Miller wanted to get in on this.
Well, Mr. Foster, in the audience, one thing that's important to know about the CRA is that anybody can apply. Any property owner can apply. So if Winn-Dixie wanted to apply, they could. They would get a yes or a no answer. Just because everybody applies doesn't mean everybody gets to take advantage of one of the programs. But the fact is that any property owner in the community redevelopment area can apply for any of the programs.
Okay, and Commissioner Dozier, real quick.
Real quick, thank you. And I might get some things thrown at me as well, so by Scott, too. I think the CRA board has been through a hard slog in recent years. I would characterize my perspective of the CRA in past years as being a reactive group, not proactive, waiting for someone to come in and make an application. This group, even before I joined, I mean, the investment plan that's been created, it is more strategic. We're getting through a lot of these hard questions, some of the debate you're hearing here about how should we be a catalyst. We're having that debate. But to me, I think the most important thing is we are a catalyst for an area, and then we get out of the way. So one of the best things I think we did recently was say, we don't need to see any more apps for student housing on Gaines Street. There is an economic incentive to do that without anything else. So we need to turn our attention to Frenchtown, to South Monroe, to other places. We have to be proactive in limiting and, you know, letting the community know what applications we're going to take and not, because once we have done our job as a catalyst, the private sector should get in there. So I disagree that it's winners and losers. It's first one like Piggly Wiggly, I said it too, that is willing to go in, and then we build on that.
Okay, we have a question from the audience. Our questioner is going to model tight, brief questioning so that we'll all have a great example. Go ahead.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
When was the decision made? Was that a change? I've read through the CRA materials, and I don't remember ever seeing interior anything. And how was that new information then provided to people who might have had an opportunity or wanted to do something like that?
Okay.
Skip.
Commissioner.
Well, there were two processes. It's something new. It's a part of the current investment plan that was, as Commissioner Dozier mentioned, in the past we had been reactive, waiting for somebody to come to the CRA with an application, and quite frankly, in some areas, not much had happened. So in an effort to be more proactive, the staff developed, at our direction, an investment plan, and that was one of the features of that plan. Before it came to us, I'm getting there, we have a citizen advisory council made up of citizens from the CRA district. So it was vetted through them, and then the recommendation came from that citizen advisory council to the CRA board. Now, I can't give you the exact date we voted on it, but it was very recently. It was in a public meeting. We took public input, if there was any. It was an advertised meeting. And so that's how that came about. No. It's for any business.
Okay.
We didn't even have the Piggly Wiggly in mind at the time, I don't think. But no, it wasn't specific for the Piggly Wiggly.
Okay. Commissioner Scott Maddox, and then we're going to move to a new topic here.
Just briefly. So I think therein lies the problem. By the way, it was a policy change. I voted against the policy change, but it was overwhelmingly adopted. So therein lies the problem. So staff is tasked with going out and finding opportunities for interior renovations, just like they would before on infrastructure or answer applications. So take, for instance, this church. This church didn't look like this inside in this building. So the parishioners here paid a lot of money for this. But other people, Piggly Wiggly, got $205,000 for their interior. You could come make an application that says, we don't think there's enough churches in this area, so we should get interior money for our church. And then the next one, and then the next one, then the next one. Not enough money to do everybody, so inevitably, some will get it, some won't.
Okay, so we're going to move on to something else, but this is, I love this exchange, variety of views, and I appreciate you, being frank about what's going on. That's what helps these folks understand the issues out there. We're getting a lot of audience questions about police presence and crime. So, Commissioner Ziffer, the city is now on schedule to hire 40 officers by the end of September, bringing the Tallahassee Police Department up to near a full staff of just shy of 400 officers. How should Tallahassee residents feel and see this? What should the community, how should crime change? What should be the tangible effect of this increase in resources?
Okay, first of all, here's your $20.
Oh, great. There, yeah, thanks.
Well, our effort that we had discussed to our budget process is we needed to have additional officers, mainly from a community policing standpoint, which is significantly different than the cop in the vehicle driving down the road, protected inside their vehicle with bulletproof glass and sirens, and quite frankly, intimidating, because that's not what we want to have. What we want to do is we want to have police officers that people in the different communities where there will be know them, recognize them. In fact, I'm not sure anybody else has seen it. Has anybody seen that video that's online with the Gainesville police officer that played basketball? You know what? If we could hire 40 folks just like that police officer, I think we'd be in far better position. Now, I'm going to ask a question because I think this is the basis of one of the issues we have. In this room, how many people live south of Magnolia Drive? Okay. Not many. And yet here we are. And this was supposed to be a forum where we were going to have individuals that lived in this area here so that we could answer their questions and we could answer them. My problem is, in order for us to do a good job with community policing or community schools or economic development or CRA or whatever, is we really need to sit down and have conversations. And I'm saying this is a great environment, but in much smaller groups, so we can actually hear. I will tell you that I personally have started to do that for a community school, and I have heard things that are going to have a significant impact on what we end up doing because people are actually talking. And I'm trying to listen, but we need to do a better job of trying to engage the people that will be affecting by community policing and all these other things we're talking about.
Okay, I want to go to Commissioner Richardson, and I got a question. We need to get Commissioner Maddox back in here. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Skip. And what I want to emphasize, and the reason we needed the additional police officers, is Tallahassee and Leon County, for whatever reasons, have seen a drastic uptick in violent crime. Report after report has designated Tallahassee as one of the high crime areas, it's certainly not in the state, in the southeastern region. And that's important because that undergirds everything that we will do in Tallahassee with respect to economic development, having our citizens feel safe and secure in their homes and neighborhoods and on the street, students where parents decide to send their kids to school. And so we had to do something. One component of addressing those issues is the community policing. And so we had to hire additional officers. And Skip, I hope that this will serve as a segue into the budget process that we went through.
I'm not familiar with that at all.
But in addition to the community policing, it's got to be a partnership. Neighborhoods and individuals have got to work with our police officers. The mayor has championed an increased partnership between our Parks and Recreation Department and the Police Department to get officers into those recreation centers where kids are. They know a lot about what's going on, either through social media or being on the street themselves. And they feel more comfortable approaching a police officer if they've got that personal relationship.
Okay, Commissioner DeLose, real quick. You said you wanted to...
It's worth noting, in the grand scheme of things, this is not atypical, but because of the fact that the city is the urban core, the crime rates have increased in the urban core. It's actually been stable or turned down in the county. So the net result is overall. But the nice thing about this has been pointed out is that our sheriff and the chief are working closely together. Us and the city are working closely together. But to say there's this huge spike, we kind of get dragged into that as well, and everybody goes, what are y'all doing? And the reality is, but just typical, because there's more of an urban core, and not to be critical of the city, but they end up owning the bigger piece of the crime increase.
Okay. Audience question, nice and tight.
Yes, we've been dealing with an issue right here on Next Road over, where City of Tallahassee owns one side of the road on the north side, and the south side of the road, right down the middle line, is all Leon County. We've been changed over from calling Leon County Sheriff to calling Consolidated Dispatch. TPD cannot do anything to help our crime problem, and LCSO is very ineffective. How can we, as a community, deal with our crime problem when we can't even get policing there?
You want me to give it a shot?
Give it a shot.
We tried to annex it. So it was very hotly contested. That triangle absolutely should be in the city of Tallahassee. It requires urban services, should be in the city of Tallahassee. When I was here prior, we attempted to annex it, and the citizens in that area voted against it consistently. I agree with you. I think it should be in the city. And the only thing I can tell you, you know, we're not allowed to work outside of our jurisdiction unless we're calling ahead and using, our mutual relations or if there's a reason for us to work outside jurisdiction. But the short-term answer is to coordinate between the agencies. But the long-term answer is it needs to be in the city limits.
I take care of the whole person interweaved throughout our office visits. Yeah. If we're talking about a general medical office visit,
right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Your family, your health, your doctor. Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
He asked if he should start calling the state. I would call the sheriff. That would be the question, is why they're not responding, because they have everybody in the county. So I would call the CDA, say you live in the county limit in the unincorporated area.
Okay, Commissioner Maddox, this is an interesting segue into an audience question that was also on my list, and that's about the kind of never-ending buzz and chatter about consolidation, and is it something that should be done. What areas, if any, in our county, including law enforcement, are most ripe for consolidation consideration, and what are the barriers to consolidation?
The barriers, I don't think there's necessarily a barrier. I think the community has to decide on its own that consolidation is something that they want as a whole for both the city and the county. I think it's been on the ballot a few times, it's been voted out a few times, and so if we get there, we will be there because it's something that you as citizens actually want us to do and have voted for us to do. I think in order for that to happen, I think you can't just say that we should consolidate. I think there has to be some hard numbers put out there, and people have to know what consolidation actually looks like. And thus far, I don't think we've actually given you guys a good indication of what it looks like and what it would be. I think the most ripe thing to talk about right now when it comes to consolidation and what's ripe for it, I think with what happened with the EDC and I think Commissioner Dozier spoke of it first, EDO. I think a joint effort by the city and the county possibly coming together to sit under one roof as the EDO wouldn't be a half bad idea. I think it's something that at least we should study and look at before we turn it away. And I think that's probably the thing that's most ripe right now, and I think will have the biggest effect right now.
Okay. Mr. Richardson?
Yeah, thank you, Skip. That issue has been on the ballot a number of years, and there are certainly advantages and disadvantages. The consolidation that I'm most familiar with, because I grew up in the area, is Jacksonville and Duval County. They ended up with 17 members on their city commission because nobody wanted to give up their seat. Or 19, Mayor corrects me, it's 19. That's a small Congress. I don't know how they get anything done. I don't know how well it's worked or not worked, but you know, those are all the kinds of issues that you have to kind of slog through before you make that decision. Over the years, in the absence of full consolidation, we have consolidated functions, planning, growth management, some others. Now the Joint Dispatch Agency have been consolidated. I have pitched the idea of consolidating our minority and women-owned business programs because you've got to bring about greater efficiency in government. The sticking point, you know, the 800-pound gorilla in the room has been the law enforcement issue. During the late Sheriff Campbell's tenure, you know, he wanted to continue with the sheriff being the local law enforcement person. The police department or the police unions wanted a unionized police force. And that was always the sticking point in full consolidation.
Anybody willing to advocate for law enforcement consolidation tonight?
Can we advocate for a study to determine if it's worthwhile?
I say that again.
I said, can we advocate for a study to be done to determine if there's really a benefit?
Sure. You advocating for that?
I would in a heartbeat.
Let's see a show of hands. Study to see if law enforcement consolidation would be a good thing for Leon County.
Let's say functional consolidation across the
board. I'm against.
Widespread consolidation of all city and county functions. Okay.
Before we put the cart
Scott,
before
go ahead. I had him next, then you.
So I would say, first of all, I'm not in favor of that. I'm not going to say I'm in favor of a study because it'll show up in my budget at $100,000 for somebody to study it.
Okay.
Law enforcement has killed it in the past. Let's look at this statistically for a second. We are the only city in the state of Florida, the only county in the state of Florida that only has one city in it. Okay, Duval County has Atlantic Beach, has Neptune Beach, has Jacksonville Beach, has Baldwin. There are 24 cities in Pinellas County. There's 35 in Dade County. There's 37 in Palm Beach County. It makes no sense where you have one city in a county. About 70% of the population lives in the city limits. The city is a service provider in many things that are countywide, including electric, water, sewer, gas, and the airport. It makes no sense to have two governments. What has killed it in the past is police officers that work for the city of Tallahassee as municipal officers under Chapter 447 of Florida statutes had the right to collectively bargain and civil protections. The deputy sheriffs were seen as arms of the sheriff and had no protections and no ability to collectively bargain. Recent court cases have reversed that. So now you could organize with a sheriff, you can organize with a police department, you have a civil process with both. So it's less of an issue. The final thing I'll leave you with. I don't think functional consolidation, it makes us feel better to say we're doing something, but it hasn't worked well. I mean, the planning department, I guess, does, but the CDA hasn't. And when you start looking, when we consolidate and put things under a county administrator and a city manager, under four commissioners, the mayor, and seven county commissioners, I don't think it's more efficient. I think it's more unwieldy. I'd rather we either just do the whole thing or do the city and do the county.
I think he's a no on consolidation.
Skip, let me jump in real quick.
Go ahead.
Two points. First of all, when you talk about consolidation in law enforcement, I think what really most people are talking about is consolidating the patrol aspects of law enforcement. I mean, we have to remember that your sheriff's office actually is charged with four responsibility, patrol only being one-fourth. We also have corrections. We're in charge of the jail. We're in charge of courthouse security and the bailiff unit and school resource officers. So by nature of the different departments, Commissioner Maddox is right. There is a difference between a sheriff's office and a police department. And unless you're willing to have a conversation about all aspects, including corrections, which is a huge part of our budget, by mandate, the state constitution, that's the only way to have a fair conversation about that. Let me bring up functional consolidation, though, real quick, because this is a sticky point, and I respectfully disagree with my colleagues at the city. I do think functional consolidation works, and I think my colleagues agree with that as well. The planning department is a great example. When I was chair 6 years ago, in fact, the county commission passed not one but two unanimous resolutions saying we would love to sit down with the city at any time, look at any department to see if we could make it more efficient, if it was even worthwhile moving forward. We even proposed animal control and parks and recreation. And the previous mayor and the previous city manager did not even formally recognize the fact that we passed the resolutions and sent them over. So we believe, and I'm looking at Commissioner Dozier, Commissioner Deloge, and Commissioner Maddox that served with me when we passed those resolutions, we believe that there is opportunity to work with the city in a functional consolidated unit. It depends on the department and whether we can make it work. And I would still say that Parks and Recreation and maybe Animal Control would be a great place to start.
How many people are happy with consolidation in banking? How many people are happy with consolidation in the airline industry? Created great rates, right? Everything came down. They work a lot harder, feel better getting on the airplane, don't you? So many more services. The bottom line is competition is good. And our two governments from time to time do compete, and we try to make each other do better jobs, and that's not a bad thing.
Okay. If you got a question, raise your hand. Otherwise, we need to keep the peanut gallery quiet. County folks, Jim Stevenson, who you probably all know, water guy, former biologist for Department of Environmental Protection, said recently in a speech in Panama City that Wakulla Springs is virtually a biological desert. He went on to praise the work of Tallahassee and the county, but said much more needs to be done. And I know septic tanks has been a big area of discussion. Is it time for the next phase of our water quality efforts, and what specifically do you propose in that regard?
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on: experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
I'll jump in here, having talked to all of our favorite advocate on this issue, Pam Hall, just this morning. So she is a staunch supporter of doing something more. Jim is an incredible resource. I was reminded today that there's a lot of new energy going into the Wakulla Springs Lodge, others. That is not just an environmental treasure, but it can be part of our tourism and other things in this area. All of our environment can be. So the BMAP, which somebody will have to remind me what that stands for, but there's been this state process through DEP. We're marking through that process. The state is, Leon County, I think, went first. There was multiple counties that went recently. We have signed off on that. This was looking at the nitrogen loads, the total daily maximum loads of the nutrients that go into Wakulla Springs particularly. It's us and Wakulla. And it studied the conditions. The next phase is deciding on a plan to reduce what contributes to negatively to the springs. And I don't disagree with Jim, but I hope we can bring it back. And then there'll be implementation. So we've got an $85 million bucket within the sales tax that wasn't designated to specific projects, but it's for water quality. So in this process, I expect in the next few years, leading up to 2020, I think DEP is looking for that plan by 18, we're going to be able to work through this and make some decisions on how best to reduce the load, the nitrogen load going down there. I'm sorry I'm getting detailed on this, but this is vital for us, and we're already in progress for doing this. We passed something last month dealing with septic tanks. This is going to affect the area we're in right now heavily because of the septic tank issue. We're working on it. We need to keep pushing it.
Okay. Audience question that is right up Commissioner Lindley's alley. Leon Works was a good start. How will you work with the school board and TCC to follow up and improve the number of students 16 to 21
who can earn vocational technical certifications in high need fields. So what is Leon Works 2.0?
What's next? Well, actually, it's very exciting. We have gotten interest throughout the state in this and other states. This idea came up in a National Association of County Commissions conference, so we do get something out of that. We are now trying to engage the legislature in helping us underwrite a continuation of Leon Works. Leon County is looking at an apprenticeship program that we would start in our own backyard. This has been received so well throughout the community every time we turn around. Leon Works, for those of you who don't know, it's really a program to get people in middle school and high school interested in learning the skilled trades, going into educational programs that don't require, or careers that don't require, a four-year college degree. And these are jobs that are going wanting for lack of trained people to do them. In fact, just this morning I read a piece from the Taiwan Review. Also, they're working into, throughout the world, there are young people who have too much college debt, who don't know what they want to do, and haven't been going into the trades, the skilled trades areas, where people need employees, and we always need those services. So.
Yeah, my carrier missed me on the Taiwan Review today.
Weirdly enough, I get the Taiwan Review.
Commissioner Richards.
I read the Democrat, too.
Thank you, Skip. To piggyback on what Commissioner Lindley mentioned, one of the things that we know is only about 40% of the students who graduate from high schools in the state of Florida go on to college or university. And so what happens to that other 60%. And in recognition of that, Senator Don Gates, who is a former school superintendent, I want to say in Walton or Santa Rosa County, somewhere over there in the panhandle, Okaloosa, thank you, Commissioner Maddox, passed legislation 2 or 3 years ago that requires school districts to offer programs that lead to industry certification, so that a student can come out of high school with an industry certificate and can go directly into the workforce and earn enough to take care of themselves or a family if they choose in the near future. So the state of Florida has recognized that that's an issue. One of our local business persons, Mitchell Brothers, who does road construction, when I talked with Mark, the owner of that business, he said, Curtis, I could hire as many young people as you could send me if they had the skills to do the work that I need workers, but we're not producing them. And so many school districts have begun that initiative. I know Leon County is doing some things, some programs they put in place at Godby, and many of the other districts are going in that direction now.
Okay, good. Quick Iowa caucus timeout. Predicted order of finish. We'll start with the Democratic caucus. So, Clinton, Sanders, which order?
Yes.
Clinton, Sanders.
I didn't say that. I said yes.
Predicted order of finish?
Clinton, Sanders.
The same.
Clinton, Sanders.
Nobody's feeling the burn.
Not in Iowa.
Everybody thinks Clinton beat Sanders. Okay, we'll do the Republican here in a little bit, so be ready, okay? All right, county people, take a rest. It's time for City Budget Bingo. So there's been two surpluses recently revealed in the city budget, one at the end of fiscal year 14-15, which was assigned to bring reserve funds up to speed, and thus, it was argued, could not be considered as a refund to taxpayers. The second surplus, $3.6 million at the end of Q1, constituted more than half of last year's property tax increase. Why couldn't or shouldn't that money be returned to taxpayers? Commissioner Miller, thanks for raising your hand on that.
Since I got to talk about it so much last year. You know, there is a lot that hasn't been included in the budget in the city for the last several years in the effort to try to get through this recession. The city's budget did drop significantly over those years, but in the process, we stopped several things that we are now having to figure out how to pay for. That's the first thing, and if you need to know what those are, I'll go into those later. But the other thing is that we've had some significant property sales that has caused money in the coffers. We've had our utilities and our staff in the general government, in the general fund, work really, really, really hard to try to save money in every possible way. We also have a new manager. All of these things together, fresh eyes on the situation, a little bit of tweaking across the board on the staff, all of these have gone together to benefit everyone. But the fact that there's a little bit of money left, and by the way, only the part that's that $3.6 million that Skip mentioned in the general fund really has anything at all to do with your property taxes. The rest of it is all whether we sell a lot of electricity or not, and whether the winter is cold or not, or whether it rains. And so those things are uncontrollable.
I take care of the whole person, interweaved throughout our office visits, yeah. If we're talking about a general medical office visit.
Right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Your family, your health, your doctor. Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
But as far as the rest of it, we're finally going to get to what I've been asking for the last 4 years, and that is back on track on the road paving projects. Normally, you have a 20-year cycle. You figure out, you know, $5 million a year, pave these streets here, pave those streets there, and then at the end of 20 years, you pretty much covered the territory. Well, we haven't been doing that, and that's the kind of thing that wasn't in the budget.
Commissioner Ziffer.
We have our new city manager's made pretty dramatic reorganization. I think we're probably going to find some efficiencies, which we'll find as a result of that as we have our quarterly updates, probably even more surpluses we might. And if we do that, I think in our budget process this year when we're talking, we ought to talk about lowering our millage rate.
Okay. Anybody else want to sign on to that view? The mayor's... He raised his hand. Go ahead.
I signed on there. Okay. I made a motion to do it this year.
Okay.
So,
well, this was obviously a difficult budget year for a lot of us. For 10 years, the city of Tallahassee hadn't done anything on ad valorem increases, quite frankly. And this is kind of how we got in the situation we're in with law enforcement. Law enforcement, we're spending. So to be a community policing department, it's recommended that we spend roughly 50% of an officer's time responding to calls for service. So you call, they come. The other 50% of the time is supposed to be spent with them in communities, in neighborhoods, talking to store owners, building relationships, getting intel and information, playing basketball, as in the example in Gainesville, right? All time on task, building relationships that help to ultimately bring down the level of crime and negative interactions with law enforcement. Our law enforcement department had gotten up to the point where they were nearly spending 90% of their time responding to calls for service. That means they were in call, they were writing reports, and then wrapping up and going to the next call. I think all of us would agree that is no way if where we're ultimately trying to be is roughly a community policing department where half their time is spent responding to calls, the other half, and building relationships in our community. The philosophy I took into this last budget cycle was how do we get a budget that gets us at a bare minimum 5 years before we ever have to do anything on ad valorem? And frankly, ideally, you want to get far beyond that. But what was not going to be fair, one is for us to continue to treat law enforcement like a throwaway. But secondarily, it was going to be unnecessary and quite frankly, undesirable for us to run the taxpayers through this exercise every year, where they're not sure whether they're going to have certainty around the bill they're going to pay or whether we're going to be looking at an increase at the end of every single cycle to make budget. And so I'm a fan of acting prudently. Obviously, if we have overestimated or overshot what we need, surely we ought to take responsibility and take a look at whether it makes sense to bring those rates down. We're not in the business of trying to create profits here. That's what the electric utility is for. We want to have a low-cost government, but also one that is a responsive and an efficient government. Not one where we're not paving streets, not one where we're robbing Peter to pay Paul, trading money between here and there, and making it uncertain for our ratepayers. So I come down on the side of us being obviously fiduciarily responsible and looking several years down the road around a budget that we can afford and a city that we can afford.
Okay. Anybody else want to get in on that before we move back over here to the county?
Just one little fact. Our police force costs about $55 million a year, and the entire total of ad valorem comes in, well, before the tax increase, came in at around 36 plus or minus, and now it'll be around 48. It's still below the cost of only supporting the police as they were last year without the extra 40 officers. Just to get some perspective on the situation, property taxes are only, they're less than 25% of the budget in the general fund, and that isn't even nearly all of the city budget. So it's fine to, I want to hear from every one of you, all of us do, but before you have an opinion, at least know how it stands and where our money is coming from and how much of it we're spending.
All of you understand the frustration that if the surplus ends up somehow being equal to the amount of the tax increase, that that's going to be a difficult. Now, I understand it's one-time revenue,
right?
But it means for at least 1 year, according, you know, taxpayers might say, for at least 1 year, we could have functioned just fine without that increase.
Well, but that's no way to run a city, Skip. Like, it's no way to run your household using your savings account to pay your utility bill, which is a recurring expense. At some point, that savings account is going to run out.
Okay.
And so that's what has happened to us. We did give some of that money back to the taxpayers, to us. I'm a taxpayer as well. In terms of the utility surplus and solid waste, I think, was the other. There were some reductions there, and so that money is going back. I applaud my colleagues. I'm only a little over a year on the City Commission, but they did keep taxes down during recessionary times, but they used non-recurring revenues to do that. So now that we need additional police officers, which is a recurring expense, you've got to have recurring revenue. And so that's why we looked at the 13%. And the other part of that, Skip, is because our reserves were being not depleted, but lowered, the bond agency started looking at us. And this is insider baseball, but if we went to the bond market and our bond rating was lowered, then it cost us more money to borrow that money. So that was the other consideration.
Okay, question from the audience.
Good afternoon. I have several questions, but I want to limit it to one.
Great.
Yes, I got started talking. I just have a comment. I have a question because we're talking about law enforcement. And Commissioner Mattis, you were in a meeting that I had with the mayor in 2013, and I appreciate you being there. We talked about, I'm a person who grew up in the South Side and who owns property there, and so is he, property that we can't do anything with. But we're going to have that discussion later. But I have a question about the city's efforts to reach out to persons who own property in the South Side to have them to participate in the operational plan or action plan for the community policing, because nothing has been done, nothing. And we really need to get that resolved.
Okay, so the question's about the police. Sounds like what you're asking, ma'am, is when are the police going to reach out to Southside residents when it comes to community policing?
Ability to establish neighborhood associations rather than the police.
All right, well, I'm glad you restated
that. And the city knows that there are problems, that they are continuing problems. Mr. Maddox came out in his vehicle and actually rode around. So we know that there are problems, we know they exist, and we know that they're not being addressed.
Commissioner Richardson.
Yeah, for those who don't know, as I mentioned, I live on the south side of town as well and share Jackie's concerns. I've known Jackie for years. But, yeah, there is a responsibility on our part. When I moved into my house, my wife and I, 20 years ago, the month that we moved in, we had a rash of break-ins on our street. So what we did was to organize as a neighborhood association. We started a crime watch program. We partnered with the Tallahassee Police Department. So we were able to address those issues in our neighborhood, Jackie. So we do have a responsibility. We can't police our way out of those issues. The community, the neighborhoods have got to organize. Christique Henry, if you know Christique, who used to be the president of Appalachian Ridge and the Council of Neighborhood Associations, is leading an effort now. It's called CAN. I forgot what that acronym is for. But part of that process is to work with Southside neighborhoods specifically to organize to begin to address the issues that impact our neighborhoods on the south side of town.
Okay.
I agree. I think that we just need to shut down some places. I mean, I don't think it needs to be a neighborhood association. I don't think it needs to be a crime watch. We know where the problems are. I mean, anybody riding by can tell what the problems are. I saw them firsthand, and I think we need directed patrols to shut places down, and it's not without precedent. We have done that before over time with establishments that are problem establishments. We've done it in the past, and that's what I think needs to happen in your neighborhood.
So when you say shut places down, what do you mean?
We arrest them for drug trafficking.
Are you talking about like a building or
vacant homes?
Okay.
Homes that should be vacant, should be shut down for code enforcement with windows that are boarded up, but the owners keep them open and they're a crack haven. Commercial establishments that do the same thing, and it's open-air drug trafficking. And it just takes a ride through the neighborhood to see it.
Okay, so what about this outreach issue? I mean, that's what...
Let
me get Commissioner Dozier in here, and then you can go next.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, we're here. We're back after having spent this entire show today tuning in with county and city leadership, the commissioners from both bodies, the mayor, Andrew Gillum. Miriam and I have listened with you throughout this show to try to decipher a bit. Some of the things that were said are pretty straight up, but there seemed to be a lot being said that was unsaid. In other words, you had to kind of read between the lines. And I think my take on it was to say, okay, when it comes to the redistribution of, I shouldn't say redistribution, but when it comes to the allocation of funding through CRA, there were questions. How did this mission go from being aimed at particular areas of our community, like the Frenchtown area, clearly in need of assistance, to something like a festival? And the Chain of Parks is one of those recipients. The Piggly Wiggly store all of a sudden was refurbished.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your thinking?
It was interesting that Scott Maddox brought up Chain of Parks and some funding going that way and some reallocation of money. Whenever there's money available and no clear picture of who's in charge of the way it's spent, it's easy for people to say, hey, why don't we use it for this?
Mm-hmm. We're inviting that sort of mismanagement.
So whether it was a good cause or not, it would be nice to know that somebody has the reins on that.
Yeah. As you asked me earlier, who decides who decides?
Right.
Who gets to make the decision as to how that decision is made?
Right.
Well, and then you got into talking further. They kind of pursued that same line of thinking in regard to the dissolution of the Economic Development Council.
Which is still mysterious to me.
A lot of people are. And the folks that I've talked to, this is anecdotal, but they don't even know what the EDC was.
Right.
Let alone why they should care that it no longer exists. And for those who may still be scratching their heads, the Economic Development Council, in its simplicity, was charged with this task of attracting to the region and developing within our community new opportunities for business. I mean, to simply put, this was the open door. This was the handshake being reached out in any capacity to say, how can we further our growth? Meanwhile, you have the Chamber of Commerce over here who, for the most part, are represented by those who are in ownership of the largest businesses in town, many of them.
Yeah.
And so whether it's a bank or a PR firm, you had people guarding the hen house who themselves are not disinterested. They would certainly want to see less competition for their own purposes.
Well, they do. And everyone wants to see Tallahassee flourish and grow.
Yeah.
But nobody wants the boat to rock.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think just bringing up the whole idea of the EDC, how it went wrong, how we can repackage that mm-hmm. so people feel like they have a stake in it, but they don't have to be afraid they're going to lose anything by encouraging growth.
And in fact, a number of organizations over the years have come along alongside of some of these larger bodies and have found it difficult to cultivate business relationships because it seemed as though so much of it was just being controlled by a smaller body. So the EDC is no more. In place of that, the idea is this new EDO, which was referred to, the Economic Development Council is gone, and what will then replace it, I guess, is this economic development organization. And with that, we'll find out as we go forward whether they in fact can operate with a bit more autonomy in contributing to economic development. Then came the business of the budget and taxes, especially the whole controversy related to how these proposals were made. And then the fact is the discovery came. Oh, we have all this surplus of money.
Why didn't we look in that shoebox before we proposed new taxes?
Which then begs the question, how many other funds do we not know about?
Exactly.
Or in your words, how many shoeboxes remain up there on the shelf? It was remarkable to me that there wasn't more outcry at that moment. I really expected when we got there at this meeting to hear people just jumping up and saying, hey, you know, well, the Village Square has done a great job over the years of trying to help us all keep our sanity about us. And, you know, they are very structured about how questions are to be asked, and civility is the rule of the day.
I like that.
Yeah, and I mean, it does. It does lend itself to an honest and open discourse without people becoming, frenetic about it.
Yeah.
But I think that in some respects, there could have been more of that kind of, hey, what gives?
I know it.
It just felt like it was sort of tame to me.
I'm with you on that because we all know it's our money.
Yep.
I personally like taking care of my money until it's needed.
Yeah. Well, and when you bring that up, we talked about this, the dissolution of the EDC. Well, this Blueprint 2000 money, there's $90 million that has been earmarked for the first time for economic development.
Yeah.
Ah, so maybe there are more grocery stores that are going to get now, what, lighting fixtures with this money? Or see, and that, again, comes back to what you said.
Mm-hmm.
When there's money involved, man, who gets to decide how that money gets spent?
That's right.
Yeah.
I know there are issues with collective bargaining for the police. I know that there are things that they don't want to lose ground on.
Control.
Right. And I know that there are ways in which these two tremendous organizations can work together without losing their identity.
You know, the one comment I heard from Commissioner Ziffer, he said this to the crowd, was that, you know, competition is good. I really thought that comment didn't make a lot of sense. And I'll
not
tell
in
you why.
Consolidation
no,
talk, no.
Because when it comes down to the competition among private enterprise or within the open marketplace, yeah, competition does drive productivity and efficiencies and pushes down on price and this kind of stuff. When it comes to governments that have nothing else to do but provide service, it only gets better. They can only provide better services, more efficient services. Consolidation doesn't discourage competition.
Yeah.
It increases the power with which, I mean, even if they were to share revenue streams, imagine that if the city had access to all those property taxes the county enjoys,
yeah,
and the county had some of that utility money that pretty much keeps the city running.
Yeah.
What if
yeah.
you put all that together and now you're not struggling with as many budgetary concerns because you've got more to play with?
Well, you have more to play with, but
and you're not duplicating.
But the idea of consolidating too means streamlining.
Yeah.
And nobody wants that. It's painful to do.
Yeah.
But that's why these guys make the big bucks.
Apparently so.
We've got to, like we're doing right here today with Tallahassee Talks,
yeah.
we have to keep an eye and we have to give them our ideas.
Yeah. Well, and I was very appreciative of those who did contribute. There was a lot of very good comments that came from those in attendance. Folks, if you were unable to attend yourself, we will continue to provide you this particular show, as we do with all of our shows, right here at TallahasseeTalks.com. You go to the website. It'll be archived there for you indefinitely. So if you want to share that with anyone else, you can download the podcast. You can share that link to this particular broadcast today. And we do so as a courtesy because we know a lot of folks are busy and you don't get to listen live. So we keep that archived there for you. Miriam, thank you for your insightful commentary.
I love it. I love Tallahassee. I'm glad we're doing this.
Yeah, a great work. And folks, thank you for making this show possible with your kind indulgence. Always good to have you with us. We look forward to having you back again next Saturday right here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We are the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising in Tallahassee. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next Saturday morning. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.